Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mini PC Show, episode number 3. My name is Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin. I'm the owner, operator, president, administrator of podnuts.com, a website with all kinds of podcasts, tech-related, from computer repair, Android apps, business-focus-related, Linux-focused, all kinds of good stuff. I'm joined tonight by Eric R. Deeney from DeeneyMedia.com. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Dor, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good because that was one of the first times I haven't stuttered at all on your last name.
So I don't know if you almost didn't stutter at all. I think there's a little bit of something still.
There was a stammer, not a stutter. There's a technical difference.
Fair enough.
Brian's not with us this evening. I believe something came up and he just got preoccupied. So for politeness sake, we're not going to step on any of the links he bookmarked. Now, really quick, I implemented this process, which I think is a really good podcasting show pre-note gathering utility, which is a combination of just bookmarking websites with Pocket, giving them a proper tag, then having if this, then that, suck the information from those links in and shoving them into a Google spreadsheet where we all have access to. If I get people saying they want to see all the links that we did not bring up on the show, I might start up a newsletter and like once a week send out all the links that could have been on that week's show. We might only bring up 5 or 10 links each episode. There might be upwards of 30 or 40 links that we don't get to each week.
Yeah, if anybody has listened to other Dor's shows, when like Android App Addicts, he's kind of an addict when it comes to finding these articles here and there about mini PCs too.
Well, I mean, I have a basic philosophy. Don't do a podcast if the stuff you do to gather the information you don't already do. So if I didn't do this show, I would still have these links. True. Just because I think they're cool. But secondarily, I believe every end of the episode, you gotta leave things on your list that you didn't talk about because you just didn't have time. You know what I mean? Which means you're only going to try to bring the cream of the crop kind of thing. You never want to scrape the bottom of the barrel for links because listeners will get bored. That's just my belief. I will say we've had a busy week in mini computers just because of CES alone. We've seen all kinds of drones, VR, drones, TVs, a little more drone stuff. But that, of course, is not everything. We're going to definitely probably touch on one or two things that were at CES. But Eric, quick glancing through the notes, is there any one thing that you think is a priority that we should discuss?
I think we had some big news this week with the Remix OS official launch. I'd like to talk a little bit about that since I do have it installed and running on an HP touchscreen Envy laptop computer.
Right. Okay. Now, Remix has been out for at least 6 or 8 months, but they finally released their alpha to where you could install it on x86 computers. So on laptops and desktops and netbooks, you can install it yourself. This is brand new. And I will say, I've installed virtually every version of this in the past from every other GitHub page or everybody else doing it from Android x86. I can't remember the names of all of them, but there were so many of them. I tried them all. I tried the bootable sticks, like the Chemo, I think it's called bootable stick. They all work to a degree, but none of them are perfect. I have high hopes for this. I haven't installed it yet, Eric has. But here's one of the lines that encourage that it's on the right path. Right on the headline on the Verge article is, Remix OS is the Android for the desktop, and it works with nearly any PC. Okay. Most of the other Android things, you would stick it in an x86 computer and boot it up, and it was truly hit and miss. Would the Wi-Fi work? Would the Bluetooth work? Would the NIC work? Would the touchscreen work? Would the video even work? But Eric just randomly picked out one of his computers, I'm going to say, and installed it. And so what's your first impressions of it?
Yeah, and that's all I have right now is first impressions. I literally installed this an hour before the show started. But I went through a quick test of everything that it purports to do. I mean, I was originally going to install it on an old netbook, but then I had Linux running on it, and I had the PC downloaded, the PC version downloaded first. So I was gonna install it on the netbook, and then I was gonna install it on my production podcast rig. I'm like, oh, what the heck? Might as well put it, some kind of alpha version of some other kind of thing right onto my production rig. What could that hurt? And then one thing I realized after I used the USB builder after I downloaded the whole package and unzipped it, and there's a USB builder included in the package that you use. But what it does is it builds the OS just specifically for that machine. So you can't take that USB and put it in another machine and expect it to work. That's what I did first. I had built the USB. It was late last night. I'd built the USB ready to go, bootable USB, took it upstairs and put it in this laptop actually that I haven't installed in now. And it said it was the wrong kernel. And so it was expecting. So when you do the USB builder, it takes the image and modifies that image to work with your PC. They must have a database of different drivers and things, and it only, you know, installs the ones it needs. So it's an HP Touch Smart Envy Core i3 Ultrabook, and everything is working. I mean, the Wi-Fi worked right off the bat, Bluetooth, camera, internet. It's touchscreen works great. The pad on the keyboard works good. I don't know. It doesn't come with the Play Store right off. This is still the alpha, so I mean, it literally got released yesterday, so I haven't had too much time with it. And it hasn't had too much time either. So I think maybe down the road it'll get Play Store and Play services. But so I installed the Amazon App Store, and hopefully I can get some APKs off of there to add to the... It's very stripped down. It only comes with a browser, calculator, camera, clock, contacts, file manager, and downloads. Not a whole lot. A media player, and that's about it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll say, looking at the screenshots, because I didn't realize there was the USB tool, this USB tool is a fork of... I wanted to say G part, but that's not right. UNETBOOTIN. This is most definitely a fork of that application. But I find it really interesting that it sucks the kernel information off of the computer before it makes the USB. That's actually, dare I say, genius, but doesn't sound easy at all. It sounds actually really hard. But you do want to load only what you have to load. So this is one way to get good performance out of it.
Yeah, it's all running off an 8 gig USB stick, so there's nothing to it. It doesn't feel like it though. You know, I've ran other like flash drive OSs before, or like Linux off of a CD or something. It doesn't have that feel to it. It's right there. You know, it's kind of funny. We were talking before the show. Doors got Remix. What do they call your laptop? Your Remix laptop.
It's the Remix Ultra tablet.
So he's got the Remix Ultra tablet, which is it's a ARM processor, right? Yeah. And he's got Windows and this operating system on it, Windows running in an ARM, which is, you know, kind of odd. And then on mine, I've got Remix running on x86 and Windows in the same computer too. And it's just weird that they both are living in two different places at the same time. It's neat.
The Cube i6 Air I have is the dual boot Android Windows. The Jide Remix Ultra tablet is just Android. That's it.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now that one, your what was that Cube? That's the
x86 i6 Air 3G dual boot Android Windows tablet.
And that one's x86 or
that one ARM? Is Intel Atom.
Okay. Never mind. Oh, sorry. But you know, I've wanted a Chromebook for a long time, and so to me, this with this installed on here, which cost me nothing, but an 8 gig flash drive, which I actually borrowed from my daughter. So I've got a Chromebook basically, the way I see it, with a touchscreen Chromebook using just this laptop. I mean, this is my daily driver laptop, but I don't daily drive with it. It's my podcasting rig when I go out of town, really.
Right. Well, I gotta say, it does sound cool. It sounds really cool, but I personally don't care about this, and I think this is nothing more than preemptive freaking out. But if you scroll a little bit further down in the links, Eric, It's sorted by date, so to let Eric hone in on it, January 13th, 150.
The EULA?
Yeah. Softpedia, at least, is raising the alarmist flag. Now, it could be very apropos and smart that they did, but they're basically saying the EULA in the Remix OS is not good for users. It makes sense. Just because something's stated in the EULA doesn't mean they're actively doing it. So basically what they're saying is that you're giving up your privacy rights, like sharing information back with Jide, which is a China-based company. But I am going to say this very loud. This is alpha. Okay. The whole reason to install alpha software is to help hone it, make it better, figure bugs out, fix things. So the idea of you're basically sending back information to them doesn't shock me a lot. Maybe they need to make it more apparent. Maybe they need to make it more obvious. I'm not going to say no to that, but to just freak out and say people need to be concerned, well, they need to be aware of it is what I'll say.
I have to say the first website I went to was Podnuts, so they'll get to see that. If that comes across a report, what's the first website that the user went to?
Thank you.
I am not extremely happy that I... no, I don't care. I did put in my Amazon credentials into it already, so we'll see how that goes. I'll report back if there's anything.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you would know, and here's my logic. Any information like this, as soon as they would get something quote-unquote valuable, in the split second they get it, every second it loses value. So if something is going to happen bad, it's going to probably happen really quick, like less than a week probably, because especially now with these kind of links going out there, everybody now knows, or it's more possible to be aware, oh, I put my credentials in there, let me save my password. So every second that passes, that data is less and less valuable. I personally don't care because I don't think that's their goal. I think this is a company trying to make a good name for themselves. I don't think their goal is to be the privacy endangering, stealing of information company that some people might assume they are.
I like one of the comments that says, hey, they're honest up front. Normally, in the West here, we get spied on without any permission at all.
I'm not going to argue that. Yeah. I just really do, Eric, after a week or so, I want to hear your experiences. Does it remain solid? Is it good? Is it fun, dare I say? I don't expect you, like a lot of people out there say, can you live with this as your daily driver? Well, come on now. That's not the real purpose of this. The purpose is, can you find a repetitive, functional use case for this? Not your daily driver. I mean, it's really hard to replace your MacBook Pro or your Yoga 3 kind of thing. But I do think these kind of devices have their place.
Well, I will say I would have had it installed much sooner had I didn't have to wait for an hour for a Windows 10 update to install. So that was frowning me more and more about the computer in its current state. But I'll be going out of town in a couple weeks, and maybe I can get some sort of a word processing program put on there. I can try it out as a note-taking app and see how that goes. You know, it doesn't take much to take notes on a computer during a session.
Right. Yeah, I'll just say good luck. The main thing is try to have fun. And I'll say this, don't forget, one big plus to this platform is you can freely, once we get the Google Play Market on, it will be easier to freely install Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Word, Microsoft PowerPoint, Microsoft OneNote even, for FREE. So that cost savings alone should help people make a decision on, whether or not they should be using this or not.
Yeah, that's true. And due to the boot of this device and how messed up the whole UEFI is on this particular laptop, I did have to send to HP and get the actual disk. So I can go back whenever I need to Windows 8 to update to 10 and all that. Just, if I do want to try it for a daily driver for a while. But I do have to podcast on it, so I gotta keep that in mind.
Gotcha. Okay, My next thing is actually going to be two links, Eric. Let me see if I can get the first one right. Okay, the first one is a episode of DIY Trying or Die Trying, which is a Patrick Norton and some goofy guy. And I say that with love in my heart. One of their episodes of their show, DIY Trying, Die Trying. And it's entitled Raspberry Pi Pirate Box for Anonymous File Swapping. I will just put it like this. I love the idea of this. Okay. If you watch the video, which isn't too long, 10 minutes long. Yeah. That's the other reason why I really do like this show. Concise, to the point, not fluff, not garbage, not 20 minutes of ads, just a 10-minute quick, here's your stuff. This has the intention of being a anonymous place you can just, on your Raspberry Pi, power up. Anybody can connect to it. When they connect to it, when they open up their web browser, doesn't matter where they go, they get redirected to the Pirate Box web GUI, where there's a chat and there's a place to freely upload and download files. There is no logging that goes on. It's not connected to the public internet. So it's private, offline, yet online file sharing, if you will. I'm going to make this. I'm going to build this. Got a Raspberry Pi 2 sitting here literally collecting dust. I'm going to have to figure out a way to rename it, though, because it can't be called Pirate Box Wireless or whatever. And in the interface, hopefully I can change it from saying the word pirate. Because literally what I want to do is every morning I get to work, power it up, and just let it run all day. And then at the end of the day, power it down. Just so there's a place at work where if people want to share stuff not work-related, they have a safe, dare I say, harbor for that. And to be very frank, it might be the kind of thing a week, a month, or a day later, I might have somebody come up to me and say, what the hell is this? Turn it off.
So it would show up as another Wi-Fi hotspot on their computers?
Not their computers, because none of our computers have Wi-Fi built in.
Okay.
But it would show on their mobile devices, phones, personal laptops, or things like that.
Okay.
So
it's got a Wi-Fi antenna or something like that in it.
Well, yeah. I'm going to first try to do it on my banana Pi, but something tells me it's not going to work, and I'm going to have to do it on my Raspberry Pi with a USB Wi-Fi dongle.
Oh, yeah.
Which shouldn't be hard. I got a couple Wi-Fi dongles over there. That was one of the things when I first got my Raspberry Pi. The first thing I did was figure out which was the most compatible USB Wi-Fi dongle that could be put into access point mode. I bought one. Whenever I've had to use it, it's very easy to get up and running. This, I believe, is actually a German site, even though right now it's being redirected to Pirate Box CC. During the DIY trying episode, they said piratebox.de, which is German. And we all know the Germans make good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think this is really one of those stupid, cool things. And it's not rocket science. Get up and running. So I'm going to do this and report back next week on if I get reprimanded at work or what.
Are you going to install it inside of a tin lunchbox as well?
I don't have a tin lunchbox, Eric. I wish I did.
I can get you one.
Amazon
has some great ones right now.
I bet you they do, but I don't want it to have unicorns on the front. Okay. Now I will say, here's one of the gimmicks. If you watch the episode, there's a lot more hardware supported than just this Raspberry Pi. They actually support these little standalone TP-Link boxes, TP-Link MR3020, TP-Link MR3040, and a GLINET router. So you can install this operating system as firmware on these devices. That to me is super interesting, but if I got a Raspberry Pi, why would I buy something else? So it's the kind of thing, if you already had one sitting around, this could be a good, fun thing to do to it.
So when you're at work, what kind of files are you guys going to be sharing amongst each other? Where you typically use a Dropbox or something, and just to get away from that?
No, because that's too much like work, and we don't do well. I can tell you, for instance, the first thing I'm going to put on there myself is three files, and it's the despecialized editions of Star Wars A New Hope, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Also, so you're going to have storage on board too. It's not computer to computer.
Oh, okay. No, it's not computer to computer. So yeah, that's what it's meant to be. You put something up there, and then either you can get it down later whenever you want, or somebody else can pull it down later whenever they want.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like just direct peer to peer. Okay. All right.
No. Or I could say, hey, Bob, have you heard that funny song or whatever that I legally own? And he says, no. I'll say, well, check this out later and it'll be there for you.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll say, I might not want everyone to email me asking for stuff that in email I might not want to, you know, say I have like the despecialized editions of Star Wars. You know, just one of those things.
Not even sure what that is, but I'm sure it's good.
There's the original versions of Star Wars, and then there's the crappy specialized versions of Star Wars.
Was it like remastered or something?
That's what George Lucas put out, was the crappy remastered specialized editions. Oh. But this is user-generated despecialized editions, where they go and they try to take the high-quality versions and remove as much of that crap as possible. So what you see and experience is closest to the original version as possible.
Okay, what good crap ruins a movie? What? Give me an example. I don't know.
Jabba the Hutt in Episode 4.
Was he not in it before?
Hell no, he wasn't in it.
Oh, I don't. I'm just...
All of the fake, horrible, what looks like to me, extra special effects, like when they first come into town for the very first time, there's only like one or two things in the background, but in the specialized edition, there's like 10 things, different animals, different sizes, different all kinds of stuff going on that just wasn't there in the original.
Huh. Okay. I don't even know. Now I question everything. I don't know what I've been shown all these years.
Here's the perfect example. Everyone has seen, God say you have, Eric, Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
At the very end of the movie, Luke, Ewok party, he goes to the edge of the Ewok party and he stares out amongst what looks like just the woods. But then you see he's seeing Ghost. He's seeing Obi-Wan. He's seeing Yoda. And in the original, he saw some old guy that we assumed was Anakin Skywalker or Darth Vader when he wasn't Darth Vader. And then when they re-released them, they put in Hayden Christensen, whatever his name is, and it just... Oh, as soon as I saw that, I literally puked in my mouth the first time, and that's when I swore off all these specialized versions of Star Wars, because that just, no. You just took my memory, and you just, you did violent things to it that you should be imprisoned for. That's my belief.
Has enough time passed that we can speak about the new Star Wars movie yet?
Sure, because I don't care, because I'm now in the same camp as Mark Cockrell, who we're going to talk to in real time, me and Eric, tomorrow night. I don't believe there is such thing as spoilers. I'm now in his camp because you know what? The same people who complain about I don't want to hear spoilers, I think are the same politically correct people ruining America. Okay, I digress.
Okay, well, I'm going to say the thing I missed that was missing from the newest Star Wars movie was the Ewoks. The lack of Ewoks disappointed me.
Hey, first off, I was scared you were going to say something about topless something, but you didn't. Okay, if you look back with a critical eye now, you realize Return of the Jedi was the movie where George Lucas started getting too much control. Because the idea of Ewoks was horrible. Absolutely, pathetically, ridiculously horrible. They never explained anything about them to you. You just got that they were just some little stupid cute things put there for children. And, like, they were getting ready to eat the humans. Then they decided not to. Then at the very end of the movie, you realize they ate the stormtroopers because they have their helmets using them as bongo drums. So those little Ewoks are completely freaky and were totally unnecessary for the movie. But that's just me. Now, what I will say is I had a lot of gripes about the new movie. After watching the first half of Episode 4, some of those gripes went away.
Oh.
Because there were things I forgot about the original.
I might have to come to work so I can hook up to your pirate box then.
Well, I have it hooked up to my Plex server, which I know Brian is also a fan of. Plex is G-O-L-D, gold. Because now I have what I call a Dorflix. You know, there's Netflix. This is Dorflix, where you can go create a free account on Plex, ping me, I can grant you access, and I can stream from my computer over the internet right to your TV all the movies in my library.
Door. I think I might be joining you.
You can.
I'd love to be a Dorflix subscriber.
You can. It's only $6 a month.
Oh, that's half the price.
I know. Okay, but I digress. That's cool. I don't want to talk about too much of the movie because I would just this isn't Geek Rant with Mark Cockrell because I will go okay. off.
Save that for if he ever invites you to his show.
I don't think he will. I don't think he likes me very much. Okay. Here's something else I want to talk about really quick, Eric. Mm-hmm. From January 8th, I bookmarked it.
Okay.
Only because this is like the stereotypical essence of the name of this show, Mini PC, and this is a this was at CES, and they called it a silly. You know, they said there was a lot of silly gadgets at CES, which I'm sure. But this one was actually pretty cool. This is literally a palm-sized computer that is a 2 terabyte network-attached storage.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You could run a Dorflex off of that.
I could run a complete Dorflex. And it's wireless, but it also does have an Ethernet port. This thing can barely fit in the palm of your hand. It's so small. Has an Ethernet port, has Wi-Fi, and 2 terabytes of disk space. This, to me, this epitomizes what I call sexy computing. Here's the other gimmick. You ready? Mm-hmm. Here is like the, I want to say coup de grace, but I don't know if I have the words right, of it. And being cool and modern and today's technology. It fits in the palm of your hand. Okay. It has a full-size Ethernet port, Wi-Fi, 2 terabytes of disk space, but it also, you can power this thing through Q wireless power. And it does have what looks like a battery on board as well. So you can have this thing on a charger, physically connected, wirelessly getting power and charging it, have it as a NAS, carry the damn thing around your house or whatever, and it's a little wireless NAS.
Well, if you could just, you could make a pirate box out of that thing.
Well, it's like a built-in pirate box kind of thing. But I want to say it's called Facetto, F-A-S-E-T-T-O, looks like the name of it. And it's F-A-S-E-T-T-O.L-N-K. It's just called Link by Facetto. This little thing is just cool. Of course, you can't buy it now. And, of course, I don't see any...
There is a thing to stay updated, and I'm adding myself to the list.
You do, because I'm afraid, because, you know, I got to pace myself, Eric. I don't see a price mentioned.
No.
It would be... See, now, 2 terabyte to me, wireless, it still should be less than $100. In fact, it should be... $70 to maybe $80.
Yeah.
And it says it's waterproof up to 45 feet. Oh, man.
Plus, it's solid state. You know, no spinning drives in there to go bad.
Uh-huh. Wireless charging.
Really? It could be that cheap? I would think, isn't a 2 terabyte spinning drive about $70? 2 terabytes of solid state's got to be quite a bit more than that.
You're right. I'm very sorry. A spinning disk 2 terabyte is less than like $80. So SSD, oh man, hopefully less than 160, 140 maybe if we're lucky. Either way, I think this thing is sexy enough. They could charge a little bit of money and still sell it, you know. I got to stop. Some of these things, Eric, I got to stop looking at.
See, if I go on a Newegg and look at a Samsung Evo solid state drive,
mm-hmm.
2 terabytes. I get $700.
What?
For a 2 terabyte solid state?
No. That's a crazy price.
Really?
That has to be a crazy
price. I don't remember seeing 2 terabyte solid states too much.
I know I have. Well, no, they go up to 8 now. They go up to 8 terabyte now, I believe.
8 Grand terabyte?
Yeah, they're crazy priced too.
Well, I bet. All right, here's an Amazon one. Yeah, that's $697.
$800. Yeah, but these things are like true hard drives. So my logic is.
So you think the way it's built is going to be on one of those, what do they call the M, the things that your modem slides into, that kind of interface, the little slots.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they are.
Yeah, $350.
MSATAs or something.
$220 for 800 terabyte internal.
800 gigabyte.
Oh, 8 terabyte. 8 terabyte. But I think this is a spinning disk. I think they're lying to me. Man, I hope that thing ain't like $400 because, you might as well take your name off the list, Eric. That's too much.
Yeah, it's going to be up there.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they have a really little small spinning disk, but if they had to go out of the way to make a spinning disk that small, that's not going to be cheap either.
Yeah, I don't put nothing past these people. Here's one more link I wanted to bring up, and this was directly from Joe Heck, codingforsale.com. Who I'm just going to put it like this. There's few people I trust on hardware quality. owe opinions more than Joe Heck, because A, I know he's a very particular fellow, and I mean that in the utterly great way. He doesn't accept no junk. But two, he understands what trim, code, and efficient hardware can do. And I know that because he talked to me about his 9-to-5 for, 30, 40 years. So I know what he's capable of, and I've seen it. So he sent me this link from Phoronix called 8-Way ARM Board Linux Benchmark Comparison from the Pi Zero to the O Droid Integra. So they look at 8 total different devices and literally do benchmarks side by side benchmarks for all 8 of these things. Okay. Raspberry Pi Zero, Orange Pi, which is like the Raspberry Pi, but literally like half the price, which I still haven't got one of them yet. I don't know why. Then there's the Odroid C1 Plus. The Odroid class is slightly physically bigger than a Raspberry Pi, but typically does have better hardware on it. Then there's the Raspberry Pi 2. Then there's the Jetson TK. Let me tell you something. Jetson TK is the closest thing to an affordable single board supercomputer. Pretty powerful. Pretty nice. Then there's the Orange Pi Plus. And then there's, again, Jetson TK. So, yeah, there's 2 Jetsons on here, which is actually, I believe, an NVIDIA product. Like, NVIDIA themselves are making this. Jetson TK1 and then the Jetson TX1. So they literally, like, put these things head-to-head-to-head-to-head and compare these. This is pretty cool. That's all I'm going to say. If you want to go to here, look at their test results. So you can literally compare head-to-head and see which one you think is the best bang for your buck. I think this is probably one of the best ways you can do it. And I want to thank Joe for sharing this with me.
I was thinking about Joe earlier today when I opened up the cupboard to get a glass, and there's 2 door-to-door geeks' faces staring back at me out of the cupboard.
Yeah, he gave me some mugs, and I did freak out my boss. I gave a bunch of my coworkers holiday mugs with candy and stuff in them, but him, I gave a Linux for the Rest of Us mug, my other show, and he thought I gave everybody that mug. I was like, no, I don't think I can do that. Not even I could do that. But yeah, they're definitely really cool. And I will say there are some benchmarks in here for also the Banana Pi M2, mm-hmm. which I thought was what I call the Banana Pro. This is really kind of eye-opening. This is really one of those hardcore links. Unfortunately, it's the multi-page link, so you got to go through 6 different pages. But if you're a number guy, this would be a very good set of links for you to check out, pages to look out.
Yeah, cool stuff. The one Jetson TX1 has 4 gigs of memory on board.
Oh, yeah. This is not your daddy's Raspberry Pi kind of mini computer.
Yeah, 16 gig of SSD, 4 gigs of hard drive. NVIDIA Tegra X1, Ubuntu 14.04 on it. Nice. It's that small.
Crazy.
Good times, my sir. That's good times to be around.
Okay, Eric. Do you want to bring up the very last link you put in the notes here? Because I think that kind of emphasizes the mini aspect of the mini PC show.
Yeah, the very last one from earlier today.
Yeah.
Okay. This was an Amazon link I found. Actually, AMZ Review Traders selling these for $80-some right now. And what it is, so we're always talking about how we've got mini computers in our pockets, right? We're walking around with a PC in our pocket. Well, this takes it to the next level because this is a 2.2-inch touchscreen mini ultra-thin mobile phone. It's an Android smartphone. And they throw in the word Guinness in there, Guinness smallest Android. But it's by a company called Cetigy, I think.
All right.
Let's see if I can zoom in here. My screen's kind of small. Cetigi. But if you want to look for it in Amazon, basically just type in phone Guinness smallest, and I'm sure it'll come right up. It's basically a credit card. It's a credit card size touchscreen full smartphone running Android. It looks like it must be some kind of a weird custom ROM because the screenshot makes it look like it's a Windows OS.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's customized because your standard Android is now being made for like you know, dare I say, gigantic phones compared to this.
And another odd thing is, if you look at the last screenshot in the ad, it shows, it looks like it uses a lightning adapter for power.
Huh.
And actually, as I'm looking at it too, that is a British power.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Charger too.
Wow, is all I gotta say. Yeah, this is 81 millimeters by 45 millimeters by 11 millimeters. This thing is teeny. It literally is virtually credit card. Two of the three dimensions are credit card size. Of course, you would crush it in your pocket, but in your wallet, I mean, but wow. I mean, I'm literally fascinated, but there's no way I would spend what they want without the Amazon review trader, $176.
You know, I don't get those dimensions. 81 by 11 by 45. Okay. If it's going to be credit card size, 11 seems kind of thick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is gigantic thick compared to a credit card.
Yeah.
Because I
would think a headphone jack would have a hard time plugging into something credit card size.
Oh, yeah, true, true. Okay, now this does say product description, interface, micro USB, and a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. So it is a standard micro USB. So obviously this power that they're showing
that picture doesn't go with the product.
No, not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, take it. You'd be rolling the dice, I think, if you were to bite and buy this one. Even in the Amazon review trader price of $70-$80 is still too much of a risky venture, I think, for myself.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see how I could comfortably spend even that amount of money and not think as I'm clicking checkout that I'm getting ripped off.
The battery is 2 times 1,000 mega amp hours, so it must come with two small batteries right out of the box, knowing that a 1,000 mAh battery is not going to last too long.
And I mean, the very first picture where there's a hand holding the phone is obviously, when you look at it, even my crippled eye is obviously Photoshopped.
The flat spot on the finger? What's wrong with that?
Yeah. This is obviously Photoshopped. So let's look at the other picture with the finger. It's just rotated. The same exact thing. So it's obviously Photoshopped.
Yeah.
So now I question how many of these pictures are even real.
I really want to order it now. I wish it wasn't so much money. I'd love just to see what you actually get.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you check on eBay, you can find one gently used for like $20.
Well, Mark Cockrell, he does AMZ Review Trader. Maybe we can get him to order it.
Yeah, good luck with that. Okay. Now, as me and Eric sit here and talk in real time, we literally just published the first episode. I know we're recording episode 3. We will catch up, but we just released the first episode, so we still don't have any emails, voicemails, video, or anything else. Do not forget, miniPCShow@podnuts.com. Voicemail is 7076-PODNUT, and I really have no idea how I can remember that, but it is 7076-PODNUT. Mm-hmm. If you want to send even a video message, just go ahead and do it to YouTube and send me a link, and we'll play that. Eric, do you have any parting words for the listeners?
Well, if you got friends who are into tech at all, and maybe they build a computer, they fix people's computers, they fix your computer, tell them about the Mini PC Show and see if they might be interested in checking us out.
Very cool. I want to thank everyone for downloading. Thanking everyone for subscribing. And I want to thank everyone for the support. We will talk to you next week.